He came to this world with a purpose. Indeed, he was born to die upon Calvary. We're going to be talking about the reason he came this morning and throughout this month. Not just to be a baby in a manger, but to be the Savior of the world. Let's pray and prepare our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for his willingness to come. And thank you that in his coming, he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He paid the price for sin. He conquered death and hell. And through him, we are able, by faith, to receive your grace and be saved for all eternity. We come to rejoice in that, to remind ourselves of these precious truths. And Lord, I pray that you would use these things in our lives to motivate us to live in this world like people who really do believe, that our testimony may be evident to all those around us. Please use this time this morning in our sermon and our observance of the Lord's table to press these things deeply into our hearts. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. December and Christmas kind of all goes together, doesn't it? We get to December, it's time to celebrate Christmas. And we do it every year. And every year we spend a lot of time rehearsing the events of the birth of Christ. I wonder if we celebrate more the event of his birth than we do the reason he came. For centuries, we Christians have delighted in rehearsing the story over and over and over through repetitious sermons and cantatas and church programs. We love to hear of the manger and the baby, the inn without room, the angels and the shepherds singing glory in the highest, the wise men and all of the things that go with these events. And I think too often when we have finished rehearsing all of these things, we sit back and reward ourselves with a sigh and say, wasn't it a wonderful Christmas? And yet, there is much more to it than rehearsing the events of his birth. He came for a reason. And we must focus on the reason he came, or none of it means anything. Would you please go to John chapter 18 and verse 37? John chapter 18 and verse 37. We read this as our scripture reading for this morning, and some of you may have wondered, we're in December, this is Christmas time, we should be reading about the birth of Christ. Here we are in Luke chapter 18, reading about his trial before Pilate, just before his crucifixion. But did you notice that Jesus referred to his birth in this verse? John 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that, and he's about to tell us why he was born. Why was he born? Jesus says, to this end was I born, that I should bear witness unto the truth. There it is. The reason he came. The reason he was born was to bear witness to the truth. Now, Pilate's response or reaction, be it as it may, demonstrates exactly why he needed to bear witness to the truth. Because Pilate says in verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" This is the problem with the depraved, lost human soul. They have no idea what truth is. It's simple. Would you go to John chapter 1? Chapter 1, verse 14. John 1, 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full," the Word who was made flesh, the Word was full of grace and truth. Drop down to verse 17. And it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The Word that was made flesh was full of grace and truth. And grace and truth came into this world by Jesus Christ. Why? We know the answer. John 14 and verse 6. We can say that without even turning to it. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, I am the truth." Jesus said, "I am the truth." Pilate said, "What is truth?" Jesus says, "I am the truth." Here's the point. Exclude Jesus Christ from your thinking, and you will never understand the truth. Eliminate Jesus Christ from your thoughts. Eliminate Jesus Christ from any pursuit of understanding, and you will never get it. Because everything only makes sense if you believe and understand that Jesus Christ is God, and he is the Savior of the world. Without that, there isn't anything. That is why this problem of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7 comes about. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Why are they never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? It's because they eliminate Jesus Christ from their thinking. It's simple. He is the one who made everything. He is the one who has proclaimed what is right and what is wrong. Because of him, we understand the difference between sin and righteousness. Because of him, we understand that we are sinners and lost for eternity. Because of him, we understand how we can overcome that. Because he is the one who took care of the problem and bore all our sin in his body on the tree. Now you eliminate Jesus Christ from the way you think about things. You eliminate Jesus Christ altogether from your thoughts. You eliminate him as the creator. You eliminate him as the savior. What do you have left? You will never be able to come to the conclusion of the truth without understanding who he is and what he has done. He is the truth. But here's what man has done. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. There are polls that reassure us that the majority of Americans still believe in God. Are you comforted by that? I don't know what the exact number is anymore. It's not quite as high as it used to be. It's probably still in the high 80s, I would think, percentile of people who still believe in God. And we are to be comforted in the fact that people still believe in God. But what the poll doesn't ask is which God they believe in. Therein lies the problem. There are a lot of people that believe in a God, but how many people believe in the God? They have changed the truth of God, the truth of who God is, into a lie. And so it says here, they have worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. It is the creator who is blessed forever, not the creature. And yet man changes the truth of who God is to suit his own purposes. In this same chapter, verse 18, a few verses before, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Men change the truth and pervert it. They claim to be true, and yet unrighteousness is the definition of their lives. It's sad. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. There is the problem of humanity. They are destitute of the truth because they have eliminated Jesus Christ from their thoughts. They have changed the truth of who Christ is. He's a good man. He's a good prophet. He came so that we would all be nice to each other. Isn't that why he came? He came, set an example of being loving and forgiving, so that the spirit of Christmas is that we'll all be nice to each other. How's that working out in the stores? Did you see the report of the lady on Black Friday who couldn't get to the toy she wanted, so she used pepper spray? Yeah, that's the spirit of Christmas. But you see, you eliminate Jesus Christ from your thoughts, and that's what you get. You can't have Christmas without Christ. Years ago, I think we were living in Lebanon at the time, so that goes way back. I was listening to one of these call-in shows on the radio, And I heard it with my own ears. I wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have heard it. This lady calls in and says, I wish we would just keep the religion out of Christmas. Let's see. Christmas is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T. Man is destitute of the truth because they are destitute of Jesus Christ. They eliminate Christ from their thinking and they just can't get it. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's why people are lost and will perish, because they refuse to receive the love of the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. So when Jesus came, he said, I came to bear witness to the truth. And the ramification of that is that if Jesus Christ is the truth and man is destitute of the truth, as Jesus Christ bears witness of the truth, it must become obvious to the people to whom he is bearing witness of the truth that they are without truth. Go to John chapter 8. And verse 33. It was necessary for Jesus to confront man and show him how destitute of the truth he was. He was constantly dealing with people who held the quote unquote truth in unrighteousness. These people, like the Pharisees and the scribes, who were so self-righteous yet unrighteous. They were so near to the truth because they were active within the nation of Israel, the chosen people of God, functioning right at the temple where the sacrifices were being made that were intended to represent what the Messiah would do when he would come. And yet, in all of their piety, they were unrighteous, because they had eliminated Jesus Christ from all of their thoughts. They had eliminated the Messiah from all of their thoughts. That's why when in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men came to the city of Jerusalem and said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? It said King Herod was troubled. And who else was troubled? All Jerusalem was troubled with him. It caused a stir that the Messiah had come. We can't have that. Take away our power. John chapter 8, verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. I'm not talking about you being free from Rome, or free from Babylon, or free from Egypt. I'm talking about you being free from sin. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Remember, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. So if you know the Son is the one being the truth who will make you free. Verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. He says, we are not of the same. There's my Father and there's your Father. And the confrontation begins. Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they saith to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto him, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Here is the confrontation. If you are not of Jesus Christ and of the truth, then where is your orientation? You believe the lie of the devil. You have to be on one side or the other. You can't be on both sides. You can't play for two teams at one time. You either believe in Jesus Christ and are of the truth, or everything about you is a lie. But he didn't just come to confront. He came to rescue people from the lie, so that they could come to the truth. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Jesus is speaking. Verse 9, he says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. He's speaking to Zacchaeus. This is the time when Zacchaeus, the wee little man, went up the tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus said, come down, I'm coming to your house today. This, he says, in the house with Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why I came, he said. I came to save that which is lost. He said, to this end was I born, to bear witness of the truth. The truth is the thing that will bring salvation to men's lives. As they understand who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done, they will come into the family of God by faith. They will be saved. The Son of Man is come. I came. I was born. That was my entrance into this world. I was born. I came to this place. Not to be the object of a sentimental devotion one time a year, I came to bear witness of the truth, so that those who are destitute of the truth could come to the truth. Because unless they come to the truth of who God is, unless they come to the truth of their real condition of being lost, unless they come to the truth, they will perish for eternity. You see, John chapter 8, I referred to it a little bit earlier. John chapter 8 and verse 30 through 32, he makes the statement, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's why he came. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's why I'm come. I am come that you might have life. You are in bondage to sin. You're destitute of the truth. You will never get it apart from me. So he says, I came with purpose. I came to bear witness of the truth. I came to tell you who I really am. I came to do for you what you could not do for yourself. John chapter 12, verse 46. I am come, he says. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. That's where men are. You see, eliminating Jesus Christ from your thoughts is the same as turning out the light and trying to find your way in the darkness. Happened to me early this morning. I woke up about 5 o'clock and got out of bed. It was very, very dark. I was heading to the bathroom. Very, very dark. And I got disoriented in the room and missed the door completely. Now, I have learned how to do that in the dark. You see, when I get out of bed like that in the dark, I always walk like this. That's better than walking like this. But it's hard to see where you're going in the dark. That's the point. You eliminate Jesus Christ from your thinking, you can't see where you're going. That's why so many people in this world have fooled themselves into thinking that they can face the grave with confidence. They're going to rest. Boy, when I die, I'll be free of all my pains and aches and everything. And why people commit suicide, because they think that the grave is going to save them from all of their anxiety. They can't see where they're going because they have eliminated Jesus Christ from their thoughts. They're destitute of the truth. They dwell in darkness and they head for the grave as if that is some kind of solution. And they head right into the pit of hell. Jesus said, I came a light into the world so that they could see the truth. John chapter 9, verse 39. Jesus said, for judgment I am come, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. That's why I came. He came to turn the light on, so they could see the truth and find the way. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. How was it that we came to salvation? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. How is it we got saved? First, we had to hear the word of truth. That's the first thing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We had to hear the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. You notice what it says? In whom? In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You believe in him. You hear the word of truth and you believe in the person of the truth. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. God clarifies for us that getting saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth is one and the same thing. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You see, you can't be saved without coming to the knowledge of the truth, because what is truth? Truth is Jesus Christ. It's not about the events of his birth. That is a wonderful description that God has given us in his word of the birth of Christ. It is wonderfully quaint. It is a blessing to rehearse those specifics. But our remembrance of the birth of Christ should not be centered around the events of his birth, but around the reason he came. He made the statement very emphatically regarding his birth. He made reference to it before Pilate. To this end was I born. Here is the reason for my birth. This is why I came, to bear witness of the truth. Because when truth is eliminated from our thinking, we are lost in darkness and will perish for eternity. Only when we come to know the truth. That is, only when we come to know the person of Jesus Christ will we be able to be saved. As we bear a testimony in these days, December 2011, let's make it more than a smile and a greeting of Merry Christmas. If the reason Jesus came was to bear witness of the truth, then our purpose in this time of year in particular, but all year long, yet in this time of year in particular, when people are thinking about Christmas, and it's a bit encouraging, you know, for a long time, a lot of the stores have been moving towards this whole thing of happy holidays, you know. And there's been somewhat of a movement now. A number of the stores have proclaimed that they're allowing their clerks to say Merry Christmas. Isn't that wonderful? But without the truth, words Merry Christmas don't mean a thing. If Jesus came to bear witness of the truth, then let it be our purpose, our intent, to bear witness of the truth as well. And if the truth is Jesus Christ, then may our testimony be of Him. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. He paid the price. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He rescued us. That's the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a reminder. We need to be reminded. And you gave provision through this table with the juice of grapes and unleavened bread to be reminded of what Jesus Christ has done. Remind us in this day of who Jesus Christ is. Press in our thoughts that Jesus is the truth. Lord, may it be that in all of our thoughts, the context is Jesus Christ. May Jesus Christ be the center of all our thoughts and make sense to everything we think and understand. But Lord, help us to be those faithful servants who serve our Savior well and continue His mission in this day and time and place. For as He came to bear witness to the truth, may it be our mission to bear witness of Him, for He is the truth. Motivate us in this hour to be faithful to this mission. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.